You probably remember I shared with you earlier that from the very day that you were regenerated, the very moment that the spark of His life came alive to your recognition, that very instant, your spirit began an ascension. And it will not stop until you stand fully manifesting His glory to the world. That's why we are here. That's what we are called for. And that's what God is doing within us, bringing forth His glory and His manifested presence to a lost and dying creation. One of the things we shared, Alice, is that we have had this thing backwards. We have been trying to go from the outer court into the holy place, and then from there break into the holy of holies. Now, you cannot say that has not been our experience, but we've had it backwards. Because the Lord in these days is removing the veils from our eyes. And we are beginning to realize that we are in the holy place, the most holy place. Not only are we in the most holy place, we are the most holy. Because we are not human beings on a spiritual journey, we are spiritual beings on a human journey. And so the Lord is unveiling our eyes to the beauty of holiness that we carry within us. And so now we stand upon this earth, having the scales being removed from our eyes, realizing that we are a Melchizedek priesthood without beginning of days nor end of life. And we are ministering from that realm of a spiritual being that we are, and that from that realm we flow into the soulish realm, and eventually the life within our spirit will change our bodies, and we will be full in His likeness and image. And that's why it's so important to understand this word of righteousness, the reality of our righteousness. And it's not the righteousness of the carnal human being. It's not about your human carnal nature being a righteous person, but it's about the real you, the spiritual being who was created a spiritual being. You cannot become any more righteous than you are right this very moment. You can only produce the fruits of righteousness, but you'll never be any more righteous. And we saw that we are a brand new creation. We are not that old Adamic nature made over and made new, but we are a brand new creation. We stand as spiritual beings on this earth, just becoming aware of our true nature and our true identity. We have been lost in an Adamic consciousness, not knowing who we were or where we came from. But the Lord in these days is beginning to restore us to our true identity. And we saw that the just shall live by faith, righteousness. But of Him, 1 Corinthians 1:30, but of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. You see, in the holy place, in your spirit, in the new creation man that you are all of these things. He has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Now see, in Adam, it says that in Adam we were all constituted sinners. But in Christ, all were made righteous. In Romans 5:17, it says, for by one man's offense death hath reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life through Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification. So I seen in these verses several years ago, there are two kings that reign. And one of those kings reign in the natural realm. One of those kings reign in the carnal mentality, even though a person may be what we call regenerated or born again. There's a king that reigns in the carnal realm. And it's the king of the law of sin and death. It's the law of sowing and reaping. It's the law that Paul found in his members that brought him into captivity to the law of sin and death. That's a king that reigns within you. If you're living in a carnal mentality, thinking yourself as a human being, even though you may be born again, going to church, you read the scriptures and quote the Bible, you dance and sing and shout and have a good time in church, if you are living with a carnal human mentality, and you're still, even in Pentecost, double-minded, a mixture, then you are still to some degree under this king, this in your life called the law of sin and death. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life. So there is a king called life. And from the new creation man, when you begin to function out from a consciousness of the new creation man, there is another law and another king that begins to operate in your life. And it is a king that subdues every enemy under our foot. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, Paul said, has set me free from the law of sin and death. Now, I first heard that many years ago. And I went around for days saying, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. But it was years having that knowledge in my head before I had a revelation of Christ in my spirit. Before I had a revelation that you don't go into the most holy place from the Pentecostal realm or from the carnal realm or from the flesh realm. Flesh and blood does not enter into the kingdom of God. And in the most holy place, there is nothing but God. And we've been taught for years, some of us, that our body is a type of the temple. The outer court, the body, the soul, the inner court, and the spirit, the most holy place. So if we know that the spirit represents the most holy place, then why have we been trying by carnal efforts to enter into the holy place? Why have we not understood that we dwell in the holy place? We are not trying to attain anything. You cannot add anything to Christ. You are complete in Him, Paul said, who is the head of all principality and power. So we're beginning to see that we are not just mere carnal human beings, but we are the seed of God on the earth. His life is beginning to come forth in such manifestation that all of creation is going to be changed into His likeness. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, not your obedience and not my obedience, but through the obedience of one who was the forerunner, one who went to the cross to show all of creation the love of God and the power of God. By the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. You say, brother, I would love so much to experience God, but I am so full of unrighteousness. Well, Paul says that where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. So when you realize you are a child of God, you are created from we're created from the very essence of who He is. God is spirit, and your spirit and God's spirit are one spirit, as Paul said. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. When you begin to understand that, not just intellectually, but one day, so many of us, we've hungered for God for years. We've had that hunger to be changed into His likeness. But when God pulls back the veil, and you begin to see Him as He really is, you really shall be like Him. Because you are like Him. Paul gives a real simple illustration, I believe, in Romans chapter 10, about the righteousness of God. He said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, have gone about to establish their own righteousness, having not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." And that's probably the dilemma of all of Christendom today. Having not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God, we have all of us went about trying to establish our own righteousness before God. If you have any kind of a sense that you need to do something, you need to make some kind of a performance, there's something lacking in your life that you need to do to make yourself acceptable to God. And we all know that in these days, God is calling forth the overcomers. And by all means, we want to be an overcomer. But the problem is in us trying to be an overcomer rather than realize that we are overcomers. Having not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. How do we do that? Very simple. We simply are like Abraham. God says to Abraham, "I'm going to give you a son." And we say, "Okay, I believe you." And it's really that simple. Now, we all know that Abraham tried to produce a son by his own effort and created an Ishmael, and we've all done that. But nevertheless, God made him a promise. And He said, "I am going to make you the father of all nations, and through you all the families of the earth will be blessed." Now, when God says something like that to either Abraham or to us, that word does not depend upon our performance. God is going to do what He's going to do regardless of what you're going to do or what you do do. When God said to Abraham that through you all the families of the earth will be blessed, and when God said to Abraham, "I am going to give you a son for your inheritance," there is nothing Abraham could do to change the word of God. Now, God has given you and me many promises. In fact, I believe it's Peter that says that we are partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And we do that by receiving the promises of God. Remember, I shared that in Ephesians, Paul said that before the foundation of the world, I have chosen you in Christ that you should be holy and without blame before me in love. If you can believe that, you can receive that. You don't have to try to be like that. In fact, the more that you try to be like God, the more you find yourself in the position of the early church, the more you find yourself in the position of the majority of the Christians today, not submitting yourself to the righteousness of God, you try to produce your own righteousness. Submitting yourself to the righteousness of God is to realize and stand in the reality of the truth what God says, "I have made you righteous." The scriptures tell us that by one man, all men were made righteous. And as we shared, that God says, I do not impute unto you your sin, I impute unto you my righteousness. So Paul continues here. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. You see, belief doesn't require an action on your part. Belief is simply a choice to believe what God has said. For Moses describes the righteousness which is of the law, that the man that doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise. Say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up again from the dead. But what does it say? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I'm telling you, that's the simplicity of walking in the reality of righteousness. And as I shared earlier, I know the Word and Faith movement has been in this country for many years, and many have taken that word and used it for selfish gain, used it with carnal thinking and carnal mentality. But I'm telling you that until you begin, and this has to be a revelation from God, you have to understand and believe, and you believe in your heart. And you know what? You can't help but believe. Every one of you in your heart believe, because you have been regenerated by the Spirit of God, and you have a new heart. And deep down in your heart, you do believe God. The problem is, you have not anchored yourself there. You have accepted the lies and the accuser of the brethren that accuses you before God day and night in your mind. But if you will believe the simple word of righteousness, if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. Now, this morning I shared that salvation, and I know we all know this, but salvation means deliverance from the curse of the law, which, in essence, was pop human being on a spiritual journey, but I was a spiritual being on a human journey. And I had my eyes unveiled at that time just a little bit to understand that in my consciousness there was both life and death. For me, the story of the tree in the garden became a reality. You see, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil are both in your consciousness. And when you live out from an Adam consciousness or a human consciousness, you are living from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And you are under the law of sowing and reaping. That's the human consciousness. The law was written for the human consciousness. There are only two lives and two laws in the whole universe. One is the law of sin and death, producing the carnal mentality and the carnal life. The other is the tree of life that reproduces God's life within you. Those two trees of choice, right this very day, are in the very midst of our garden. And the choices that we make will produce either life or death. We will reproduce within our being a life that is both good and evil, or a life that is simply an abundant, overflowing manifestation of God's life on the earth. So when you understand that you are a spiritual being, and you have your eyes unveiled to that fact, you can begin to live, to speak, and to act out from a brand new consciousness. What Paul calls the new creation man. And again, I will say that the new creation man, who you really are, you see, we've had this false identity, this false sensation for so many years. But when we realize that we are a brand new creation in Christ, and that life cannot be touched with sin and death, that life knows no bounds and no limitations. That life right today is breaking through the human consciousness and is bringing incorruptibility and immortality to God's people. I'm telling you, that life will flow from the very depths of your being. It will transform your mind into the mind of Christ. It will transform your emotions into the love of God, and it will transform your will so that you will be so pliable and so naturally doing the will of God on the earth. And that life from your spirit will then, once your soul is transformed, I'll tell you, the next step is the transformation of the body. Because if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead abides in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken and give life to your mortal bodies. We have to come back to the basics and the simplicity of the gospel. Jesus said in Matthew 12:34-37, O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things, and an evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. So you can see why it's so important for us to begin to change our conversation. As long as you continually identify with the Adamic consciousness and you continually confess, I am this and I am that and I am, you know, we continually identify and focus our being on the failure of the Adamic man rather than focus our attention and everything we are on our spiritual man. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. And it's not God doing it to you. It's your choice. It was about 1982 that I began to see this. And I began to make the choice to believe God rather than my experience. Because one of the things that helped me, and I may have shared this here before, but one of the things that helped me in this is one day God said to me, as I was continually going to him every day and confessing all of the junk and all of my weaknesses and all of the things, one day God just said to me, stop doing that. Why do we continually go into the presence of God confessing everything in our lives that has been dealt with and has been put away by the power of the cross? The more you focus on and the more you talk about your failures, the more real and the more you solidify them in your life. And it takes a lot of courage to stand in a miserable, wretched, sinful condition and begin to say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Not because I feel like it, not because I experience it. But you know what? One thing I experienced all my life as a Christian was the love of God. I knew that my Father loved me with an undying love. And the Lord had me examine my heart, and he said, Gary, what do you really believe? Do you really believe my word, or do you believe what you're experiencing now? Because the Lord had told me some time before that he said that John saw you in the book of Revelation. And that's when it said, John said he saw, you know, all nations and all tribes and all kindreds and all tongues. You know, and they were singing and dancing and praising the Lord. He said, John saw you there. And I had that word for a long time, and it was the most wonderful experience to know I was that secure in God. But yet, for a long time after that, I still couldn't break out of the sin and the lust and the things that had me in captivity. So God said, Gary, what do you really believe? And so I had to look deep into my heart. And in my heart, I could hear Romans chapter 7. And I could hear Paul saying that, you know, I delight in the law of God according to my inner man. But I find that other law, that when I would do good, evil is always present with me. And the more I try to be good, the more the law of sin and death, that principle, works in me. And I heard this, it was like a trumpet blast within my consciousness that said, it is no longer I that do it, but it's the sin principle that still dwells and still operates within me. And I knew, I'll tell you, I saw it so clearly, the division of soul and spirit. The Word of God had come to me, like Hebrews 12, the Word of God is living and powerful. It's operative even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And I saw very clearly that division of soul and spirit. And I'll tell you, I saw my spiritual man. I sensed the love of God, the compassion of God. I sensed just the wonderful presence of God within me. But on the other hand, I saw that sin principle, that residue of sin that still had me in captivity to the law of sin and death. But I knew clearly that that was not me. I had at that time, and again, this was back about 1982, I began to have an understanding of who I really was. That was not me. That was the residue. That was still some of the unrenewed, unregenerate part of my thinking. But that was no longer me. And from that moment, I began to stand in the reality of what I knew to be the truth. And you couldn't get me to say I was a sinner if you gave me $1,000,000. You couldn't get me at that point ever again to confess my weaknesses. I never again even took my sin in the presence of God and confessed it. I put it away. And I don't mean I did that, you know. What I mean by that is I did everything in my power to rid it from my consciousness. If Jesus on the cross took away the sin of the world, if he is not imputing to you your sin, but he's imputing his righteousness, then you better forget it too. In fact, he said to me one day, don't continually come into my presence and confess your sin. It does not exist in the mind. You see, what's real to the carnal man, there's been many ways to express it. Some say it's a dream state. You know, it's not, but we know that it is not real. What is real is spirit. The only thing in the universe that is real is the life of God. And when you're not living out from the life of God, when you're living out from that knowledge of good and evil, when you're living out from a human consciousness, you are living in a dream state. That's the only place that death exists, is in the carnal realm. That's why that, you know, we're born into a death state. You're dead until your spirit is awakened. Even when we were dead in trespasses and sin, Paul said, even then, even when you were dead in your sins at Calvary, you were raised up together with Him and seated in heavenly places. And thank God we're beginning to come into the realization of what happened 2,000 years ago. Thank God we no longer have to try to make this thing, you know, there is no performance in the Christian life. I say this over and over again. You don't get up in the morning and try to figure out how to be a human being. And when the resurrected Spirit of Jesus Christ comes alive in you, you will never again have to try to figure out how to live godly.
It's an automatic.
No more than you don't have to try to live the human life, you will never again have to try to live a godly life. It is your life. Because your life, your real life, is hid with Christ in God. And when He appears within you, you shall be like Him, for you shall see Him as He is. How do we rid ourselves of this sin consciousness? The greatest problem known to man is this mistaken identity, not knowing their true nature and identity, trying to get back to God. All the religions of the world, as we've said, has come out of man's sin consciousness. Every religion in the world, including all of the systems and all of the religions of the Christian system, has come out of man's carnal mind trying to gain entrance back into that place of oneness with God. And again, we just try to do it backwards. We are the presence of God on this earth. And just as the priests in the New Testament carried the Ark of God on their shoulders, representing God Himself, we now carry the Ark, the presence of God in our being. We are the presence of God on this earth. Because, see, we can receive that and say, oh yeah, I know that. I know that. But we need to know that. We've said for years, Jesus lives in me, but we need to experience that. Remember what Proverbs says? That death and life are in the power of the tongue. Your tongue will either bring to you life or death. And see, the key to all of this, number one, is that our hearts are for God, and our hearts are for God. Don't let the enemy say it isn't. You wouldn't be here. Your heart is for God. And you choose to believe what you know to be the truth. You don't have to try one day longer to be righteous. You don't have to try one day longer to be like God. You need to spend time in His presence to have Him pull back the veils off of your eyes. We don't need more teaching. My God, we don't need more teaching. We need realization and revelation of what we already have. You know, in the new creation man, when you begin to walk in the experience of the new creation, that is the end for you. It was said 2,000 years ago that Jesus destroyed the works of the devil. And yet, we've been fighting him for 2,000 years. But doing it out of this carnal mentality. When you realize that you are standing in the holiest of all, the enemy loses total possession, loses total jurisdiction. You know that never again will you ever have to fight a devil or a demon. When I was in Pentecost, I was in deliverance ministry. I've cast more devils out of people. I was in spiritual warfare, trying to pull down principalities and powers out of the airwaves. I'll tell you what, folks, it's all to no avail. How could a carnal mentality deal with and pull down strongholds, spiritual strongholds? But when the Spirit of the living God is quickened within you, you don't even find a need to do so. Nothing stands in the presence of God. Why could those men that Jesus taught do what they did? You know, it's really not revealed to us through the Scriptures what He taught them. The reason they could do what they did is they had revealed to them the same truth that Jesus understood. He taught them the kingdom of God and who they were. And they understood the authority and the realm and the kingdom of God. It's too bad that carnally minded men again came in and produced just more religion after the apostles. Same story happened again as it happened in the garden. Was that men soon fell from that knowledge of the kingdom of God in the early church to once again the knowledge of good and evil. And has produced again nothing but religion on the earth. Forasmuch as the children, in Hebrews 2:14, forasmuch as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, think about that verse. As much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood. When did you partake of flesh and blood? When you left the heavenly realms and entered into a physical being. For as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise partook of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Well, did he or didn't he? Did he destroy the power of the devil? Well, if you believe the Scriptures, you have to say he did. But then if you say he did, why are we still trying to conquer the enemy? Because the only place that he exists is in the carnal mentality. And that's why Paul admonishes that we need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. I'm telling you folks, if you get the devil out of your mind, for you, he is non-existent. Never again do you have to fight the devil. You simply stand in the reality of what you know in your heart. You see, your mind don't understand these things. I've said some things this weekend probably that some of you just can't even yet receive. But you see, your mind doesn't have to know the truth. Because real truth, spiritual truth, is revealed to your spirit. And your mind will pick up on it later. As your mind is renewed, you will begin to understand the mysteries and the hidden things of God. But they are not ever revealed to a carnal mentality. I love this verse, and I read it everywhere I go, so I'm going to do it again here. I probably did it the last time I was here. But 2 Timothy 1:9. Speaking of Jesus, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. Can you hear that? But according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and incorruptibility to light through the gospel. Everything that you need has already been given to you, even before the foundation of the world. And we're coming into that revelation knowledge of being the seed of God on the earth that has everything within it that it needs to reproduce the life of God on the earth. So the only thing we need to do, and it's very, very simple, but it'll be the most difficult thing you ever do in your life, and that is to begin to exercise, as I shared yesterday, begin to exercise what you know to be the truth from your spirit. Begin to exercise your spiritual man. You are not a miserable sinner. You are not a prostitute. You are not a drinker and a smoker. What you really are is the righteousness of God in Christ. And I'm telling you, I did this by experience. I defeated every enemy in my life, and I had a ton of them, by believing God and getting that negative stuff out of my consciousness. It's simple, but it'll be one of the most difficult things you ever do. My sister often tells the story. She asked me, oh, I don't know how many times, Gary, how? Because, see, my family saw me change. My family knows what I used to be. And they knew that I sought after God for years without much change, but all of a sudden they began to see me change. And my sister said, Gary, how do you die to the flesh? How do you get this carnal thinking out of your mind? And I've said to her again and again and again, man, stop talking about it. E.W. Kenyon, I've said many years ago that a thought unspoken dies unborn. You need to write that down. Let it burn itself into your consciousness. A thought unspoken dies unborn. You see, we give life to our carnal thinking and mentality because we speak it, we think about it, we give voice to it, and it becomes ours by experience. And you can reverse that simply by standing in the reality of your spiritual being, and don't say anything. Don't talk about anything. Don't get it rid of it in your mind. And your experience then will line up with the Word of God. It's really that simple. A thought unspoken dies unborn. You think about it, you begin to talk about it, and you give life to it. Well, let's reverse that. You think about, through the promises of God, we are made partakers of the divine nature. Paul said, whatever things are good, whatever things are pure, whatever, think on these things. And I'll tell you what, folks, you can, because you are a spiritual being. You have the power of God, the ability of God. You have everything within you to give you the strength and the courage to look at your experience and realize it's a lie, or realize it's a lie, and stop giving life to it. Because as sure as God is on the throne, the power of life and death resides in the words that we speak. You see, it has to be that way because we were created as spirits, and as a spirit, you know, you are a creative person. And you create, oh God, this sounds probably New Agey, maybe it sounds like Christian Science, but it's the truth. You create your own reality by what you speak, and by what you believe, and by what you think. Jesus was an example of a man who realized his Father. He realized that he and God were one. He knew why he came to this earth, and therefore he was able to do what he could do. We need, as Jesus did, we need to come away until God begins to give us that knowledge. And he will change not only your life, but you will change the world when you have that kind of an understanding. So, it's your choice. What will you choose? Will you choose to continue on as you are, struggling in the flesh, doing your very best that you can do, and hope that someday you'll be an overcomer? Or will you believe what the Word says? Can you possibly believe that Jesus is the author and the finisher of your faith? Because that in itself will bring you into rest. If there's anything the people of God need today, is to come into rest. Rest in the knowledge that Jesus is the author and the finisher. And you just say, Lord, I'm going to rest. You know, I'm going to enjoy you. I'm going to forget about being good. I'm going to forget. You know what? If you will learn in a simple way, to come away every day and learn how to enjoy your God, your life will change daily. You will experience what Paul said, that day by day, we are changed. We are transformed from one degree of glory into another, simply by resting and enjoyment. Learning how to feast upon the bread of His Word and the wine of His enjoyment will bring you everything that you need every day of your life. I wish I had the time to tell you, well, some of you know because it's in some of our books, the experiences that my wife and I have been through simply by being able to believe God. He could tell us, we love Cunningham. He could tell us tonight to move to Cunningham, and we would go home and pack up our clothes, not knowing how we would get here, where we would get the money to move, or what we would do when we came here, but we would come. We've done that a few times. It is the easiest thing in the world when you stop the natural carnal thinking, stop the struggling in the flesh, and just simply begin to believe the revelation that you have in your heart. You have the witness. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So listen in the quiet. This is something else I've shared everywhere. Is you need to learn how to enter the presence of God and be quiet. Just be quiet. And if you can learn to sit and be quiet for a few moments every day, I'll tell you what, that in itself will bring such a revelation to you. Be still. Be quiet. Go into the quiet and just listen. And see if you don't hear God speak in His Holy Spirit.
This concludes this message. For additional tape copies or for more information, you may write us at Sigler Ministries, P.O. Box 97076, Kent, Washington 98064. You may telephone us at area code 253-859-0881. All of our messages are distributed on a no-charge basis as finances permit. These messages may not be sold, but you may duplicate them freely for distribution. If you have internet access, visit us at Sigler.org.
Holy fire.